For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Scuba Shack Radio, Season 6, Episode 133, recorded Monday, March 11th, 2024. Scuba Shack Radio is a bi-weekly podcast in support of our mission to empower individuals with knowledge, ability, and experience to venture underwater in pursuit of their aspirations and to advocate for ocean health and sustainability. Hello again, everyone, and as always, thank you so very much for tuning into this latest episode of Scuba Shack Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Centropino. So how are you adjusting to the time change? Now, it's nice to have some more daylight later in the day, but still, I'm not sure we really need to continue to move the clocks around twice a year. I guess the biggest question would be, do you settle on standard time or daylight saving time? I think I'd vote for standard time. We've been pretty fortunate up here on the weather front the past couple of weeks. We have had a lot of rain, not snow. But I saw that some places in California got 4 or more feet of snow, and then it was snowing at a rate of 4 inches an hour. Wow. Then you got the record warmth way up north with some places 30 degrees above normal, not to mention the wildfires in Texas. How much more evidence do we need that the climate is changing? Now, on today's show, my commentary is going to again focus on dive computers. It seems there are still some who think you don't need them. Wait until you hear who. But up first, let's get some updates from the dive shop and then a little bit of wet notes. So this time of year is always interesting at the dive shop. The last few days of February were very quiet. Sometimes quiet is good, and it allows us to get caught up on a few nagging items. That's one thing about a small business and local dive shop. It just seems there is always one more thing to take care of. Now, I also participated in our first DEMA Retailer Engagement Committee meeting of the year. One of the primary objectives of this committee is the selection of the presentations that DEMA sponsors at the show. We need to have all this work done by May, and it takes a while to go through all the submissions. Last year, we had over 150 submissions, and in the end, only 25 were selected. So I'm gearing up for that work. Our other big activity over the past couple of weeks was our second open water class of the year. This one was a bit smaller, and that's typical for this time of year. We do see some variability in class sizes. But we had a lot more going on at the pool. We always offer a pool practice, and several divers took us up on that as they look to keep their skills fresh over the winter. At the Saturday pool session, we had 2 divers working on their dry suit certification, and we're going to be looking to get them out for their 2 open water certification dives as soon as we can. And then finally, on Sunday, we had a great Discover Scuba program for 4 youngsters. Pretty cool. Their grandfather of these 4 cousins gave them the gift of Discover Scuba, and they had a pretty good time. We certainly need more young people entering into the diving world. Well, this upcoming week will be a short one here at Scuba Shack, as we're going to be heading up to the Danvers, Massachusetts for the 70th annual Boston Sea Rover Show. Stay tuned for an update on that. So that's it for this week's shop updates. This is Wet Notes here on Scuba Shack Radio for Monday, March 11th, 2024. First up, back in January, I told you about the Immerse Yourself event that the History of Diving Museum was having in February, and that was on the Empress of Ireland. Well, I had planned to attend the Zoom event, but didn't make it. That was on February 21st, and that was Donna's birthday, and after we closed up the shop, we decided to go get some pizza, and well, I missed the presentation. But not to worry, the History of Diving Museum recorded the presentation by David St. Pierre, and it is available to view on their YouTube channel. Last week, I blocked out some time and watched the hour and 20-minute session. It was very good, and the photos he had from the salvage operation in 1914 were incredible. If you have a chance, check out the Immerse Yourself on the Empress of Ireland, and that's on the History of Diving Museum's YouTube channel. Pretty amazing stuff. Now here's a great story coming out of Maui after all the terrible news last year. Now a couple of weeks ago, snorkelers were visited by a humpback whale and a calf. Now this happened out at Molokini Crater. The snorkelers were off the Pride of Maui, and that's an excursion boat that leaves from Mauleia Harbor. Many years ago, I did this trip on the Pride of Maui, and we went out to Molokini. There's a short video that the Pride of Maui put out on their X feed. The mother and calf swim right by the snorkelers and then right past the Pride of Maui. What an unbelievable experience. Now, I have probably done over 20 dives at Molokini, and we've seen whales on the surface from the boat just outside the crater, but never while diving. This truly was a rare encounter. By the way, you can see the dive boats in the background of the video shot from the Pride of Maui. Now, I am really jealous. While we're on the subject of humpback whales, I recently read an article with some disappointing news. The article was published by the CBC News and written by David P. Bell. The headline read, "Humpback whale numbers fall 20%, but scientists aren't worried." Now, this drop in numbers is based on a study titled Bellwethers of Change, and that involved 46 different organizations who modeled the whale population. And they used thousands of photographs of whales that were collected by almost 4,300 community science contributors. The subtitle of the article calls this an amazing example of citizen science. Why no concerns right now? Well, in 1976, the estimated population of humpback whales was 1,600. By 2012, the population had grown to about 33,000. Scientists believe that the whale population grew too large, too fast, and that this drop could just be some balancing. But then again, there are some thought that the cause of the drop is by marine heat waves. We just can't ignore that the ocean is getting hotter. I saw a posting on Dive Newswire recently that SSI, Scuba Schools International, welcomes its newest diver specialty program, computer diving. Well, this is certainly interesting given my commentary today and over the past several months. Now, this course sounds really interesting. The computer diver specialty is capable of integrating with participating manufacturers' dive computers to cover functions and capabilities. Also, this is interesting because Monty and I just finished writing a new dive computer workshop that we're going to be giving up at the Boston Sea Rovers this year. And it covers a lot of the same material that I reviewed in the course preview that SSI provided. Now, I couldn't find out which dive computer manufacturers that their app integrates with, but that would be very cool to integrate a learning program with a specific model of computer that you have. Let's see how long it takes for the other training agencies to follow suit. By the way, I still have my manual from Patty circa 2009 on how to use and choose a dive computer. There is no doubt that dive travel is big right now. We've seen it. Many of our divers are looking for their next dive adventure. They have put the pandemic in the rearview mirror and want to go. In the recent edition of the Undersea Journal from Patty, there's an article that gives us some confirmation on this trend. Now, they had some interesting statistics that came from a 2022 survey by Reef Foundation, or Reef World Foundation, and these were supported by other independent industry studies. So I thought I'd share a few of those statistics with you. 85% of the responding divers said that they were planning a trip in the upcoming year, with 59% of those indicating that they were looking for sustainable travel. Divers are always interested in the ocean, and 83% expressed interest in marine life education. Now, here's something interesting. While a significant number were prioritizing and willing to pay more for sustainability, 85% indicated that they find assessing sustainability of a dive operator a challenge. Finally, the article indicated that the market value of dive travel in the U.S. in 2023 was $4.4 billion, and that's expected to grow this year. Yes, dive travel is big right now. And finally, last year I told you about scholarships and grant opportunities being offered by the Women Divers Hall of Fame. Well, they have announced the awards. The 2024 Scholarship and Grant Awards will be formally presented at the Beneath the Sea Show in Secaucus, New Jersey. Beneath the Sea will take place March 23rd and 24th. This year, they had a record number of 324 applicants. Out of those applications, 47 individuals were selected. The awards range from $1,000 to $2,000 and total $57,000. I was particularly impressed with the number of basic training grants. They awarded 15 of those at $1,000 each. The Women Divers Hall of Fame cast a very wide net with recipients from around the world. Congratulations to WDHOF for this amazing program and getting so many young people into our sport. Well, that's it for this installment of Wet Notes here on Scuba Shack Radio. Well, I started off Season 6 and my new expanded commentary segment with my opinion and observations on why I believe every diver should have a dive computer. Now, that commentary was based on some interaction that one of our affiliated dive professionals had while doing a refresher course for divers who had been out of the sport for a while and were looking to get back in. They didn't understand why they needed a dive computer and why, in my opinion, it's an essential part of your scuba kit, and that you should always carry a dive computer on your dive. Now, I never thought that that commentary would be aimed at dive shops and dive professionals, but wow, recently I've come to recognize that perhaps it should. More on that in a minute. First, let me set the stage. Just a few days ago, one of our divers came into the shop. They completed their open water certification dives with us last year, and they consider themselves part of the Scuba Shack dive family, as do we. They call us to seek advice, and they also come in to talk about where to dive and what to expect. Well, this time they came in to prepare for a trip that they were going on very soon. I'm not going to discuss where, because I really don't want to point fingers specifically. So let's start. These divers need to rent gear when they arrive at their destination. They haven't been able to make the investment in their scuba kit just yet. So our divers called a number of dive operators at the destination to inquire about renting gear. First, they wanted to know if they could rent Halcyon backplates and wings along with Apex regulators. You probably guessed the answer to that question. You see, we tell our students that they probably can't expect to find the gear that we use for training when they rent. So that was no surprise when they told us that no one that they contacted would provide this BC and regulator combo. But what surprised the heck out of me was the response they got regarding renting dive computers. They were told by several operators that they did, that the operators did not rent computers, and further, that they did not need a dive computer because they would be diving shallow and wouldn't have to worry about no decompression limits. Quite frankly, I was a little taken aback. Should I have been surprised? Heck yes. I personally expect it more from dive centers. Okay, maybe they do shallow dives, but guess what? I've been to this destination before, so I went back to my dive log and when I visited there a number of years ago. I did 4 days of diving in this location. My first dive was to 61 feet for 39 minutes, and my second dive that day was 48 feet for 53 minutes. And guess what? Our surface intervals were being pushed at 31 minutes, and we weren't real happy about that either. Our second day, our first dive was 86 feet for 34 minutes, with a second dive to 45 feet for 60 minutes. Day three, our dives were 80 feet for 36 minutes and 34 feet for 61 minutes. Day four wrapped up with a 45-foot dive for 53 minutes and a 39-foot dive for 49 minutes. Like I said, the operator was pushing short surface intervals for a number of reasons. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't consider these dives as shallow and not requiring a dive computer. And here's another thing. Our divers are Nitrox divers. They followed our strong recommendation and advice to obtain this very important certification. So their expectation was that they would be able to dive Nitrox at this location. Well, they were told that there really wasn't any Nitrox available. And again, we're told that because of the shallow dives, it wasn't necessary. Now, as I recall, we had Nitrox when we visited there, but that was a number of years ago. And from the profiles I described, if I was on air, I would certainly want to track my no decompression limits, especially when on a repetitive dives. I can attest to the need for keeping track because we just experienced having to dive air when the Nitrox computer conked out on Little Cayman. All of us were very cognizant of our NDL decreases on that second and third dive. But let's go back to the fact that our divers were being told by dive shops and presumably dive professionals that they didn't need a dive computer because these were shallow dives. Would they be using the recreational dive planner to plan their dives? Just for grins, I took out my RDP and worked the first dive 61 feet for 39 minutes. According to our rules, I would have to round up. And you know what? 70 feet for 40 minutes puts you right at the no decompression limit for that dive. And remember, the RDP doesn't allow for multi-level. So according to the RDP and diving air, I would have violated no decompression limits on most of my dives. We don't dive like that. We use our dive computers to not only plan our dive, but also to ensure that we're staying within limits during our dive, like getting shallower if you see you're approaching a no decompression limit. How about using the computer to monitor your ascent rate and then count down your safety stop? Now, I don't know what these operators would require for timing devices or depth gauge. We also use our computers to track our surface interval and then go into the plan mode to ensure we're ready for the next dive. Now, I'm going to close this commentary by saying, in my opinion, in this day and age, with technology and the breadth of dive computers on the market, to tell a diver that they don't need a computer because they're going to be doing shallow dives, in my opinion, is irresponsible. Well, I hope you enjoyed this latest episode of Scuba Shack Radio. I guess you can tell that I'm a bit passionate about using a dive computer. I can't imagine jumping in the water without one. Once again, I want to thank everyone for tuning into the show. Stay safe, and I hope you can get out there diving soon. Until next time, take care. Scuba Shack Radio is a bi-weekly podcast supporting our mission to empower individuals with knowledge, ability, and experience to venture underwater in pursuit of their aspirations and to advocate for ocean health and sustainability. Talk to you next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.